You are listening to The Innovators Behind Disruption, a podcast series brought to you by Evolve ETFs. The world is evolving. Your investments should too.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us today. I'm joined by Stu Wolf, who works in a leadership role in Cisco's global security practice. Stu, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great, thank you for having me.
So let's start out a little more macro, or as I say, 30,000 foot view. I saw a recent study that showed that there's going to be about 20 billion devices that are going to be connected over the next few years. That sounds like a huge number, because that translates to about 3 devices per person on the planet today. How does that open us up to more cybercrime, and how do we address cybersecurity as we increase our connectivity?
So you're absolutely right. It's interesting. The Internet of Everything is definitely changing. It's impacting multiple different industries as well from a security perspective. The challenge with the Internet of Everything is that there really are no security standards out there today. And so you have a lot of devices that were never designed to be connected to the Internet. And with growing to, you know, 50 billion devices connected by 2020, is which we predict, it's going to be a huge challenge in being able to figure out how do we actually secure these devices. These devices were only never designed to connect to the Internet. They also lack basic security things, such as being able to obtain a log to figure out what happened in the device. They don't encrypt the data. You can't necessarily change passwords in the data. And we're also starting to see now a lot of cyber attacks, actually, with IoT devices as well. So there's been a few that have been in the news recently where they essentially use different devices, such as a thermostat in your house or even a smart fridge, to be able to use that to create denial-of-service attacks and basically launch attacks against different customers using these IoT devices. So it's definitely an interesting area. The other thing is that by 2020, we also predict that 40% of all data will come from sensors. So that's huge, because in today's world, data, there's very little data coming from sensors compared to where we predict it's going to go. And with 40% of all data coming from sensors that we can't monitor, that's not necessarily secure, that can be intercepted, definitely provides some risk. And with lack of standardization on top of that. The other thing, too, we're seeing a huge amount of influx of data that we never had before, not just coming from IoT, but 90% of the world's data was created in the last 2 years. That's a huge amount, and that includes data that we know how to handle, which is structured data, but also unstructured data as well. So, for example, how do you classify, you can classify a file in a system as being confidential, but how do you classify something within a file as at a particular security level? So definitely the Internet of Everything is changing. There's definitely a need for it, but we're starting to see a lot of security risk and attacks. For example, we see in the healthcare sector, there's attacks against smart beds. There's attacks against IP drips in hospitals. So you can actually change, for example, a paddle for a heart monitor, because these devices have an internet connection, a 3G cellular connection to the internet. So manufacturers can change the settings on these devices for the paddles. But the thing is you can't change the passwords. All you have to do is find out what paddle a hospital is using, look up the manual on the internet, find out what the password is, and you can change a child setting to adult or an adult setting to child. Imagine what the impact would be. So there's not just, you know, financial impact, there's also, and not just, you know, theft and privacy impact on IoT, but there's also real human life impact as well. So definitely a growing industry, definitely an interesting area and an area of focus that everybody needs to start to think about on how do we actually secure all of these things. Another interesting area on the IoT end is in the manufacturing sector. There's a lot of devices in nuclear factories, for example, devices that are being used for smart meters and for smart parking. So when you go into a parking lot, it will actually tell you where there's a space that's available versus having to look for a space. There's a lot of different use cases for where IoT can be enabled, but at the same time, those devices also need to be secured as well. You definitely don't want to have issues in a manufacturing environment or a nuclear environment that is not secure, and we're connecting old OT environments that have technology that's been around for many, many years that is not designed to connect securely. And on top of that, that equipment typically is not refreshed like we would in the IT world. So in the IT world, we understand how to secure things, although it's still a challenge, but we're refreshing equipment every 3 years. On the industrial side, we may refresh stuff only 15, 20 years. So how do you deal with equipment that's really old, and how do you deal with stuff that is not being refreshed to have the latest security standards in them on a regular basis like we would on the IT side? So definitely very interesting. The Internet of Things is definitely a growing area. Definitely it has many very positive use cases, but also a huge risk for cybercrime, and industry standards are definitely required to secure those devices.
Yeah, as you said, I think, you know, there's massive benefits attached to being connected, but there's obviously, with everything good in life, there comes some challenges as well. And I think cybersecurity is probably the biggest one facing the connectivity of our future. So shifting out and talking more about from a corporate perspective, you know, I know that you see in the press a lot of the Fortune 500 companies are out there publicly stating that they continue to view cybercrime as their number one threat for their business. Obviously, for financial services companies, that's really important, because any breach of client data can result in not just a drop in stock price, but also a loss of customer confidence. Where are you seeing the trends? Like, are you seeing right now most of the Fortune 500 companies planning to increase their budgets towards cybersecurity? And I guess in addition to that, how are they actually integrating cybersecurity into their firm? Are they combining in-house expertise with contracted out companies to help them? Where's the trend going in that whole area?
So it's interesting, because, you know, if I go back, like, you know, 20 years ago, security was always an afterthought and was always seen to not be a business enabler. And there wasn't a dedicated chief information security officer. And a lot of companies didn't have dedicated budgets for security. Even up to today, even security executives in a lot of financial institutions don't necessarily have true C-level status. They still report into the CIO or the CFO. They need to have direct access to the board to be able to push the agendas forward. But what we are seeing is definitely a huge amount of focus on security, and security as a business enabler, which is really critical. If you think about a CISO in a bank today, they're responsible for enabling the organization so that they can have successful business outcomes, but they need to be able to do that securely, and they don't want to see as being prohibitive to doing business. So definitely there's a huge focus on cybersecurity programs. And on top of that, one of the biggest pushes in the security industry, especially in the financial sector too, has always been regulation, right? Because that's definitely not a discretionary spend. So anytime you have any kind of compliance regulatory requirements, if you look at, for example, in New York, the NYDFS cybersecurity regulation, they now have to have a CISO on staff, and there's multiple pieces that they have to comply with. We also have GDPR, data protection regulation, in Europe that also requires companies that do business in Americas with European companies to also comply with that as well. We also have mandatory data breach notification that financial institutions will be under in Canada. So there's multiple different things that are also pushing. On top of that, there's also a lot more awareness that's also helping financial institutions to get budgets, because they're also being attacked. We saw the latest ransomware attacks with WannaCry that had a huge impact on the industry. Data breaches are also a huge concern, not only from protecting intellectual capital, but also brand name protection. So there is more awareness, definitely at the board level. The challenge is that the security problem is becoming more complex, and there's a staffing shortage in cyber skills. And so what happens is there's a ton of requests for the security team. They're trying to keep up. They have a whole bunch of projects. And most financial institutions have been assessed to death, meaning they have a whole bunch of roadmaps from multiple different consultants on where they have to go. But they don't necessarily have a consolidated roadmap to be able to move that forward, as well as skills. And so what's happening is that a lot of financial institutions have to rely on third-party vendors to help them, not only from an ongoing managed perspective to help augment the skills that they have in staff in-house, but also they need consultants to help them move things forward. Right now, we actually did a study back in 2014. There was a million people short in the cybersecurity field globally. They figure by 2020, there's going to be 2 million people short in the cybersecurity field just in the U.S. alone. And that provides provides a big security risk as well, because from a cyber terrorism perspective, you need people that can actually detect these type of threats and be able to handle security for different institutions. So definitely a growing field, definitely a requirement because of the skill shortages, the need to move business forward securely, and the board level is definitely concerned about it. There's a big push to not only grow your teams internally, but also to rely on external consultants to help move things forward. The other thing is that the skills that are needed are actually becoming more complex too, because traditional ways of doing things, for example, we would do hacking. Hacking obviously is incredibly important, but the problem is our traditional ways of doing that isn't necessarily going to help us when we get into more advanced persistent threats, that we actually need technology from third-party companies to help us to be able to detect the threats that are happening from multiple different countries and impacting our business. A lot of that focus is really around behavioral and statistical analysis type of technology, along with skilled cyber experts that can actually look at the threat data that they see and figure out what needs to be actioned. It's very hard for financial companies to be able to staff that internally, expensive to build it, and also expensive to really try to retain that staff, because they end up moving to other organizations because there's just so much demand out there in the cyber field. So definitely a big Fortune 500 focus, as well as a need to partner with third-party companies.
Is it fair to say that, I mean, obviously one of the keys to effective cybersecurity is to be able to stay ahead of the cyber criminals, because, you know, it's evolving dramatically in terms of the tools and the ideas that cyber criminals have, that a lot of the external companies are a little bit further ahead than you might be if you're just dedicating to internal?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, definitely a lot of the external companies are trying to obviously invest in as much as they can to be able to help. And also, as I said, you know, they obviously have the staff to be able to do that, as well as investment in technology. But because the threats are becoming more complex, it's becoming more and more difficult to do it internally. And you really need that external. If you take a look, for example, we have 600 threat researchers, and, you know, a financial institution couldn't afford to hire 600 threat researchers, nor necessarily retain them. So it's becoming definitely a critical challenge. And because the attacks are becoming more complex, it's not that like it's easy to actually see stuff. So stuff often is very stealthy. Attacks can happen over a very long period of time, and you need sophisticated technologies that can actually have artificial intelligence, statistical analysis, behavioral analysis, to be able to actually look at all this information, store it in big data clusters, and then be able to do correlation to actually figure out what's going on. That kind of technology is not easy to build. And if it's not your core business, then why invest in that, you know, yourself? Why build it yourself? It's much better to just go with a third party that is focused on that, and that's all they do every day.
Yeah, and I've seen that there's definitely a human resource shortage in this space. Told a lot of people that there's 100% employment or 0% unemployment in cybersecurity. I also noticed it's interesting that in Israel has become a real hotbed for cybersecurity talent out there. There's obviously some pretty good cybersecurity companies, but it seems to me like the training programs that they've put together there have been pretty strong from an individual educational perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually have a lot of specific stuff going on in Israel as well, to around that type of thing, because of the amount of investments and quality of skill and all that type of stuff. So definitely an important area as well, too, so for sure.
So let's close off with a few of your predictions for your industry that you see over the next 5 or 10 years. I think everybody will agree that, you know, cybercrime is going to continue to rise, and the need and the demand for cybersecurity services will as well. But what do you see in terms of the biggest threats and the biggest opportunities as well going forward?
I think that definitely, you know, there's going to be more of a use of artificial intelligence, behavioral, statistical type analysis to be able to detect these threats, not only within the data center, but also within the cloud environment. it's definitely becoming more complex, and we're no longer self-contained within data centers. Our you know, quote-unquote data center environment now includes a hybrid environment with data all over the place within different, you know, hybrid cloud environments, data centers, private cloud, public cloud, using SaaS providers, IaaS providers. And so it's definitely, the problem is definitely becoming more complex to be able to detect. The other thing is that we're starting to do things in different ways too. So traditionally, when we look at securing stuff, we had an application that we could deploy a defense in depth best approach, where we had a application layer, presentation layer, an application layer, a database layer. That kind of world is gone now, because we're doing a lot of agile DevOps type of microservices development in the cloud that now has a lot of pieces of an application that are not necessarily in one place. We have a lot more east-west type traffic that requires analysis, especially in a cloud environment that's using containers, which is the kind of the new way that we're going, versus our old way of just doing virtualization. So there's a lot of changing technologies that are requiring a change in the traditional ways that we did security to be able to handle these threats, from detecting threats in applications, ensuring that we have secure application development life cycles, that cloud is secure, and be able to detect those stealthy attacks using that behavioral and statistical analysis, as well as artificial intelligence. The other thing is, we need to move faster, and I think that's really critical as well. One of the things I hear from a lot of my customers is, and I mentioned this earlier in our talk, is that, you know, they've been assessed to death. And so really the concern is, you know, don't just tell me kind of where I am. Help me to get to where I need to go, because I need to move faster, because the board's asking me to move faster, because we need to be able to have successful business outcomes, and we need to be able to enable that quickly. So we're seeing a big change in the industry from point solution selling, from selling, say, you know, firewalls or routers, switches, or URL scanning devices, to much more business outcome type of focused solutions that are actually cross-architecture. So what that means is we're really trying to provide a holistic solution to a customer to help them achieve what they want to do as a business, including enterprise networking, data center, cloud, as well as security, which all of those have to intertwine together to be able to help the business. So definitely more of a business focus now than just a pure point solution technology type play in the industry is definitely changing as well.
Well, this was great. Thanks a lot for your time today, Stu.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to The Innovators Behind Disruption, a podcast series brought to you by Evolve ETFs. Remain educated. Be informed. Sign up for our newsletter and learn more at evolveetfs.com.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.